I got something on my heart, but I got to get mic'd up first. And I couldn't find it. Anybody else? Anything before we go further in the service? All right. Get your Bibles out or some type of device where you might be able to follow along with us. And turn in the scripture this morning to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 is where we find our text this morning. I'm grateful for the things that have been said and done so far this morning and how that they have related to the message, it seems. And this message that the Lord placed on my heart, I need His help to help deliver it. And I need Him to show me the way because I just can't simply find it alone. And the things that it is that God has placed in my heart, I feel like they're so applicable, not because of anything specifically that's going on in the church. Can I tell you something today? That when I try to preach, I really try hard not to consider what people are going through. Because when that happens, I try to figure out what to preach rather than let God tell me what to preach. And that's not a good place to be in. So when I preach something, there is very rarely a time when I know who it's affecting. I have no idea how God's using. So the things that have been placed in my heart, God's made this very clear to me this week. And all I'm asking is that you would open your eyes and your hearts and your minds today to see if there's some way that it applies to you. Because I feel confidently that if we're all honest, this is something that all of us are affected by in our walk with the Lord. So I want to take my reading lesson from Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 this morning. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto all him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now that's reading the first 9 verses of Galatians chapter 6. And the thing that I've been impressed upon comes from that 9th verse that we find in our reading text. And it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And that thought, I've kind of read scripture around that recently and preached in a different situation, I guess you would say, around this topic. But this topic uniquely has been put on my heart in the way that it has been shown to me is about that phrase that is found at the very end of verse 9 when he says that we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Church, let me tell you something today, that frustration and struggle and anger and disappointment are all parts of life that are unavoidable. You are going to get upset sometimes. You are going to be disappointed. You're going to get frustrated. You might even get mad from time to time. You are going to be let down by others. There are going to be periods in your life where you don't understand, where you feel like giving up, when it seems like there's just no way to get past what you're in. My concern for that is, and I don't know if any of you are like this in your life, but for me specifically, sometimes when I'm frustrated, sometimes when I'm upset, I tend to, as some people might say, lose my head a little bit. Does anybody know what that phrase comes from? To lose your head when you get upset. To not think clearly or to forget things. Did you know sometimes when you get angry, because you get so angry, you forget what's going on around you? Sometimes when you get upset, you become so consumed by whatever is upsetting you that you kind of block off and you shut off other portions of your life. You begin to forget things because you're so upset. And I want you to know there's nothing more frustrating than already being upset and then you forget something. Now, I don't know if you've ever been that way. There was a comedian one time talked about how he got so upset when he was arguing with his wife. He went outside and shut the door and slammed it. And when he got outside, he realized he didn't have his keys. He'd forgotten all about it. He said, "I don't know where I was going." And he went back in. He said, "It was a walk of shame because I was so upset I'd forgotten my keys." Listen, you may forget a whole lot more than your keys if you let your upsets, if you let your downfalls, if you let your disappointments consume your life, if you let it take front and stage.
stage and center of your life, you will begin to forget things that are much more important, and you will focus on the disappointments. Church, let us be careful. Let us guard our hearts not to let our disappointments be the consumption of our life. Because what happens is, when you become discouraged, when you become upset, when you become fearful about the future, it can drastically affect your walk with the Lord. I want you to turn with me just real quick. You can keep your hands kind of there in Galatians chapter 6, but turn with me into Luke 21 and just a portion of the verse there in Luke 21 and 26, and it says, "And men's hearts failing them for fear." Now, it's talking about the returning of the Lord, and it's talking about end times, but basically what Christ is saying, if your Bible's written like mine, those words are in red, that means Christ is saying there will come a time when men's hearts will fail them. Why? Because of fear. Because they're overwhelmed. Because they have anxiety. Because they have a lack of trust in the Lord. Because they can't figure it out. It will cause their heart to fail. I don't believe that Christ was talking about that fear is going to cause people to have heart attacks. I think that's possible, but I don't think that's what Christ is saying. I don't think he's talking about the physical muscle and organ that is your heart. He's saying the spirituality of mankind will fail them because of the fear and the anxiety and the things and depressions that they deal with in their life will overcome them to the point where it will cause their heart to fail. Now you may think, well, that's got to be a rough place to be, to get so upset, to be so fearful, to have so much anxiety that it overcomes and causes you to fail in your spirituality. Brothers, it may seem far-fetched, but I want you to know that it's possible to any of us. We've been here this morning and we've been celebrating and we've been worshiping God, and that is great. But please don't think just because we worshiped God 20 minutes ago that things aren't going to be hard later today. Don't think that you're not going to struggle with some type of stress as soon as you leave this place, and you may already have it creeping in your mind right now. Why? Because it's a very real part of life. Now, the Bible tells us that if we are with Christ, we have truly nothing to fear. That if He is with us, who then or what then could be against us? The Bible tells us that love, and not just any love, Sister Sandy, but perfect love casts out fear. That when you love God and you're close to God and you're holding hands with God and you're walking with God, fear ought to be cast out of your life. Then what is it then that causes fear? It's a distance issue that is created between you and God. When you don't walk close to God, when you're not consumed with holy things, you will begin to see that fear and doubt and anxiety will begin to control your life. You say, "Preacher, that's scary." It is very scary. And here's what's even scarier, is that it doesn't happen by chance. Satan wants this to happen. It's not you just sometimes fall. And I want to say as a disclaimer, I know there are those that deal with imbalances and physical things that cause them to truly have mental issues. And I don't want to discredit that. That's a very real thing as well. But I'm talking about in the spiritual nature of human beings, of those that are born again. There's a very real possibility of you becoming overwhelmed. And Satan wants to work in your life that way. Did you know, and I love these songs, Sister Sandy, that your cries have awoken the master. Didn't I walk on the water? I love that song. When I kneel in the darkness in the middle of the night, praying for assurance, is everything going to be all right? Did you know, we like to say, you know, when it's hard and you're struggling and you're up all night worried about a decision or some unknown in your future, God's right there with you. And isn't that true? Isn't that a blessing? But guess who else is also with you in those times? Your adversary never leaves you, nor does he forsake you. In those sleepless nights of fear and wonder, Satan is right there with you. And he is encouraging, he is provoking your heart to sin. There is never a time in your life when you can ever let your guard down to your adversary, because he always seeks you. And not in a favorable sense, he seeks to destroy you. The Bible tells us plainly here, did you know that the same Greek word is used in Luke 21 that is used in Galatians 6? Same word when it talks about fear and failing. That word fail or faint It's the same Greek word in both places. What does it mean? What does it mean to faint? Well, I've written down the definition. I hope that's okay. And I feel like the Greek definition and the Webster's definition are very similar. But I just think when you look at it in a spiritual sense, you'll understand how different it can be. Faint, to faint, is defined as to become weak or dizzy, losing consciousness, unaware of your surroundings, incoherent, or my favorite, temporary loss of vision, strength, or mobility. Satan wants you spiritually to experience periods of temporary loss of vision, temporary loss of strength, temporary loss of mobility. He knows he can't have you forever, but if he can keep you fainting in your spirit, he will have his way with you. Church, my heart this morning, and I hope we'll get there by the aid of the Holy Spirit, is to encourage you, because I think there's a remedy to this. But my heart is also very much concerned with our church that you need to be on guard. You need to be warned, because I think people think, oh, well, a little worry never hurt nobody. Everybody worries. Let me tell you something about worry. It typically doesn't stay the same size. If you're not careful, it's like weeds. It'll grow on you. And you can get rid of it, and guess what? Just like weeds, it'll come back. I hate weeding. And I know it's a strong word, but I mean it seriously. I hate to go get weeds out of the flower beds and out of the landscaping. And Lindsay seems to think that I like it. I don't know if she can hear me right now. She's like, well, you love landscaping. I like being outside, and I love to see things grow, but I despise weeds. Why? Because you put in so much effort. You work so hard, and 30 minutes later, they're back. I don't understand how that works. They grow so fast, and you can spray it, and you can pick them out, and you can do everything possible, but they still come back. Let me tell you about doubt. You can purge it out of your life. You can work on it for a long time, but it will always creep back. It will always come back. So be careful. Guard your hearts. Be prepared and be ready. So let's go back into Galatians about what he says there for just a moment of time about what it means to be faithful and faint not. Church, I hope you know this, and I hope it's been made clear to you that serving God is not a bed of roses. I used to hear that a lot when I was a child. People don't use that term anymore, but basically, serving God is not always easy. Now, it's blessed. It's the only way to live, but it does not come without its hurdles and hindrances. And part of what I am finding as I grow up, and if you've been in the way longer than about 5 minutes, it'd be okay if you amen to this right here, okay? Did you know what I'm finding out is the greatest hindrance to my walk with God is me? I get in my way all the time. And I strive and I want to do better, but I keep on failing me. And more importantly, I keep on failing God. And so I feel like there's this kind of not so sincere belief in us that we're powerful enough and at any time we could just walk closer to God. I like to think that I've got a lot of things under control in my life too, even though deep down I know that's not the case. And when we kind of get that distance between us and God and we see fear and doubt are creeping into our lives, we like to think, oh, it's not that bad. Church, it can be bad. And not just in the sense that it can cause just a little hindrance. It seems to me that the Bible would tell you it could cause complete corruption in your spirituality if you allow it to take control. So he says then in Galatians, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. This is really where my burden's at today, church. I'm just going to be honest with you. I hope that's okay. And if you don't like it, well, then write me a card or tell me afterwards, okay? Just don't put it on Facebook. My heart hurts sometimes, okay? And sometimes I get discouraged as your pastor. And I've talked to other ministers about this because I know they experience it too. Sometimes you just feel like you're pouring so much into something and you're not getting a good return on it. And sometimes if you're not careful, you'll start to be selfish about it and you'll think it involves you. And I get that way sometimes. Sometimes I get frustrated. Sometimes I get upset. Sometimes I get anxiety about this church. And I know this church is in God's hands, but I still worry about it. I still very much want to see it do good things. I want to see it not just survive. I want to see it thrive. I want to see this church continue to grow and be better than it's ever been before. People look around and say, well, the crowd's down a little bit today. Let me tell you something, church. There's so much more to a healthy church than how many people are sitting in its pews. A lot of our churches I know feel anxiety and discouragement because they don't have a lot of people coming. God can use 3 or 4 just like he can use 3 or 400. God can work as long as people are willing. but my consumption is that I have felt recently overwhelmed and discouraged. And I thought, Lord, why is this happening? Why? I can't get it. I mean, we're trying our best, it seems like. Seems like a lot of people want to serve God, but just nothing's coming of it hardly. You know, we'll preach the gospel, we'll have good revival meeting. Just seems like the lost sit unaffected. You'll preach about something. You preachers out there, if you've never amened before, you better amen right now. You ever preach something and then somebody turn around that very next week and do something against what you preached about? And you think, maybe I should have just saved my breath. And you think, well, that's just something preachers go through. Oh, no, it's not. Church, it is very important that we don't take personal the struggles and the failures that we perceive are going on around us, because if we focus on that and don't focus on God, we will completely dement our way of thinking. So what he says here, he said, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of it. Don't quit doing it, even though you're not seeing immediate results. Church, you're not supposed to be focused on the results anyways. But if you're not careful, and I myself included, will focus on those things. You'll go through a revival, and you go talk to someone and say, how was the meeting? It was good. How many got saved? I want to see somebody get saved just like the next person, but just because nobody gotten saved, didn't get saved, doesn't mean it wasn't a good meeting. Or, this is my favorite, and it's my favorite because I know many of you have said it before. When you leave church on Sunday morning, you see somebody on it. How was church? It was great. Preacher didn't even preach. Sometimes services can be good even when the preacher preaches. Sometimes. We have this distorted way of thinking. We're looking at results rather than our efforts. And God has never called us to look at results. He's only called us to focus on our efforts. So what he's saying here is, don't get focused on the wrong thing. Because when you do that, it'll create a domino effect in your spiritual life. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season, you'll reap. Boy, I look forward to the time of reaping. Now, it doesn't happen all that often necessarily, in my opinion, but when it does, it's good. There have been people specifically that we have labored for and with, and when deliverance comes, it's good. I'm going to be honest with you, and I've preached this before, and I'll preach it again probably. There may have been some of us that got really frustrated at people even in this church house today that are saved that sought or chose not to seek for a very long time. I'm not going to name names, Madison Elliott, but there are some people that seek and seek and seek or just seem to be hard-hearted to the gospel, and you think in yourself, are they ever going to get saved? I mean, what are they waiting on? Why are they sitting on God? How could they act like this? You begin to take it personal. You don't understand. You try to think outside of what God's called you to do. And then you become distorted about your way of thinking. But let me tell you something. When the reaping comes, it's worth it. So don't always look at the reaping. Try to be focused on the sowing. Bible tells us when there was a little bit of dispute among the early church about who baptized who, a great man of God said, one planted and one watered, but God will give the increase. And if you will be faithful in what God has told you to do, I promise you that He will deliver you in His time. Does anybody know what due season is? It's not my season, it's not your season, it's His season. Did you know that God doesn't operate on your timeline? I had to learn that the hard way. God doesn't deal with deadlines. Lord, I need you to do this by this date. You can't go to God like that. That's not how He works. Lord, I need you to deliver me of this, preferably by Friday. God works in His time and in His way. And when you just take things to Him, take them and leave them there. You will reap in due season, but only under one condition. And church, let me tell you first off, before I tell you what it is, you've already heard it, but let me tell you what it's not. He did not say you'll reap in due season as long as you go to church. You'll reap in due season as long as you keep praying every once in a while. You'll reap in due season if you know all the fundamental doctrines of the Lord. You'll reap in due season if you keep giving your tithe. You'll reap in due season if you just don't talk nasty and gossip about other people. All those things are perfect, they're great, and they're part of serving the Lord, but that's not what the Bible says here. He says you will reap in due season. How? Why? Only if you faint not. So I want to tell you this morning about these reasons why you shouldn't faint in your service to the Lord. First reason why you shouldn't faint is because He said He'd deliver you. And if that's not reason enough to stick with it, maybe none of the other ones will matter anyways. The fact of the matter is, God has told us through His Word, whatever you're going through, whatever you're worried about, whatever anxiety you have, if you'll stay faithful to Me, I'll deliver you from it. And a lot of the things that we worry about, God has specifically commanded us to not to. What do you worry about the most? If you're truly consumed in your life about spiritual things, then I'm grateful for that. But I'm going to tell you what most people worry about the most is carnal things that God has told us not to worry about. Can I ask you a question? And if you don't want to be honest, raise your hand. I'm totally fine with that. How many of you worry about your finances and your money? Come on, be honest with it now. I feel like there's a lot of spouses nudging each other right now. Like, you are all the time. How many of you worry about your job situation? I do. How many of you worry about what you're going to eat or if you're going to have enough of anything? How many worry about if you're going to have a way to provide for your family? Worry if your car is going to make it? Worry if you're going to have provisions made in every aspect and avenue of life? I do that all the time. Shame on me, because God said, okay, these things right here, put them in a pile and never worry about these things. Because if you put Me first, I will always take care of these things. Did you know, if you're faithful to God, He said you'll never have to worry about if you're going to eat, because He'll provide something for you. You never have to worry about your shelter, because He'll give you one. And yet, what do we worry about the most? Things that really don't amount to that much. If you want to be consumed by something, be consumed by godly things and not by worldly things. The first reason you shouldn't faint is because fainting will cause you to lose out on deliverance. Did you know that? Church, my fear is today that a lot of us get in the middle of trying to do something and then we faint on God and we never see it come to fruition and then we try to blame God for it. Don't get quiet just because it hurts. If you've never blamed God for something you did, then you're either one, not being honest, or two, possibly not being honest. Because all of us have tried to blame God for things in our lives that we failed at. I don't know to the extent of all of us in all situations, but we are great at passing the buck. And we will begin, if you're not careful, you'll go to God and act like He's failed you in something. Thank you for whoever said that. He's never failed you not one time. The Bible makes that clear. So let me tell you this. When something doesn't go your way, God didn't fail you. It just wasn't God's will. And sometimes it may have been God's will. You just didn't stay faithful to it. Boy, what? Just let that sink in for a little second, okay? There are times in your life when you gave up on God and He couldn't fulfill totally what He wanted to do in your life. Why? Because you gave up. It can be in your relationships. It can be in your career. It can be in some endeavor of spirituality. It can be in your preaching. It can be in your witnessing. It can be in some way that God's working in any aspect of your life. And you gave up on it. And then you try to blame God or somebody else for it. He said, if you'll be faithful, if you will be faithful, I will deliver you of these things. You will reap in due season if you faint not. But oh, how many times have I given up? Because I felt like it wasn't working. You ever had somebody in your life you're witnessing to, trying to share the gospel with them, and they're not receptive to it, and you're just like, that's fine, yeah, whatever. Did God relieve you of that burden, or did you just give up? Maybe you and your spouse are having a disagreement, and you feel confidently that the Bible teaches that there's some way you need to operate. Do you ever pick your battles and just give up because it's not worth the fight? Maybe there's other aspects of your life where you've just given up. First reason you don't ever need to give up is because if you will remain faithful, I promise God will remain faithful, and He will bring the reaping in His time. Now, it may be longer than you thought, but He'll bring it in His time. What's the second reason you shouldn't faint on God? Because it's dangerous. Does anybody know what it looks like to faint in physicality? How many of you here have ever fainted before? I never have. And I kind of thank God because there's no telling. I think the fainting's not all that bad. It's whatever you hit on the way down that's probably the worst part. If you feel like you're going to faint, get on the floor because that's where you're heading anyways. And it'd probably be better if you sat down than fell down. I've never fainted before, but I imagine hearing people talk about getting lightheaded and they think, okay, here it comes. They can kind of sense that it's happening and they try to brace themselves for it. Have you ever sensed spiritually that you're fainting? Like you're losing your coherency just a little bit? That maybe you're getting weak? Maybe your vision's getting a little blurry spiritually speaking? Let me tell you something. Here's what you want to do. Fall on God and don't act like it's not happening. Okay? Because it is very dangerous for you to faint spiritually. Okay? A couple reasons why. I was told a story one time about this preacher who was preaching at a tent revival, I think it was. And this preacher's just preaching his heart out. He's preaching the things that God has put on his heart. He is just absolutely giving it to the church and to the lost people. And he's just, just giving everything he's got. Nobody's paying him a lick of attention. And you know why? Because somebody about halfway back in the church fainted and fell out on the floor. When I started thinking about this story, I thought, man, that's terrible. I mean, if I was a preacher, trust me, there are things that happen when you're preaching. You probably thought to yourself, I probably should just quit preaching. Nobody paying attention anyways. But if somebody falls out flat on the floor, passed out, I might want to stop preaching because you're probably not going to hear me anyways. You're distracted by someone that has fainted. Did you know if you faint spiritually, it doesn't always only affect you? If you give up on God and you faint and you fall out spiritually, you're not only taking down yourself. Because guess what? If somebody faints physically, what happens? People rush to help them. People stop paying attention. People that are looking at you become more consumed with you than they are with what's going on around them. If you faint spiritually, do you think it really, truly only affects you? As I've told you before, church, everybody's got somebody who's looking at them. And do you know how disheartening it is to look around a church and see people who have fainted spiritually? You don't think that's visible? I didn't look around this morning, okay? But I think we all can attest that the Holy Spirit was here at the start of this service in a big, big way. He was moving in this place. But I still guarantee there's somebody on some pew somewhere in this church doing one of these right here. Well, Harold shouting again. Well, it's that song, yeah. Man, some of them wound up. Just sitting unaffected by it. And you think that's not visible? You think nobody's looking at you, your children, the young people of this church? Have you ever been in that position and known how bad that feels? Oh, I have. Holy Ghost start moving in church and your coldest crowd can't feel nothing. And you want to, but you wait a little late to get your want to and you didn't get prepared for service. Everybody cutting a shine up there shouting and praising God and you're like, man, I wish I could get in on that. But then there are some people that have been fainted for so long, they wouldn't know the Holy Spirit if it ran all over the top of them and smacked them on the back of the head. And what my biggest concern probably is I don't know that people care anymore. See, brother, I'm trying not to get discouraged. I'm trying not to let it get the best of me. But when you're fainted spiritually, it affects all of us. And it's dangerous, not only to yourself, it's dangerous to all of us because when you stop caring, guess what? Somebody close to you stops caring. And they'll look at somebody else and be like, well, why should I care what's going on? So-and-so's not. Why should I be engaged? Why should I be faithful? Why should I keep going to VBS and revival and women's fellowship and men's fellowship and all these different things that we have going on? Why should I? They're not. Your fainting has long-lasting and far-reaching effects. Why should you faint not? Because it's dangerous when you do. You or somebody else might get hurt in the process. So the first thing is don't faint because God will deliver you in due season. And that's very important. The second thing is, don't faint, because it can be damaging to many people. And the third reason why you shouldn't faint is because it's avoidable. Amen. Did you know that? You don't have to faint spiritually. God doesn't want it to happen. But oftentimes you choose it to be that way. How can you avoid kind of falling out spiritually? Well, I'll tell you this. There's a couple things you can do that's going to help you a lot, Brother Tyler. You know one way you can stay close to God? Stay close to God. Brother Andrew, that's pretty redundant. Yeah, and it's pretty true, too. Amen. You want to stay close to God? Then stay close to God. Don't go wandering off. Don't forge your own path. Don't find a better way. Don't neglect Him. Don't negate Him. Don't talk back to Him. Don't drive a wedge between the two of you. You want to stay close to God? Stay close to God. You know what's a good way to stay close to God? Stay close to God's people. It matters. Hold on a minute. Everybody turn your hearing aids up. It matters who you hang out with. It matters who you spend your time with. You don't believe it does? Just sit back and watch the effects it has on your life. You want to stay close to God? Stay close to God's people. You want to stay close to God? Stay in God's house. That's a great place to be. If you want to be spiritually strong, if you want God working in your life, if you want God on you all the time, then don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Amen. Don't give up on this church. Don't give up on this worship. You want to stay close to God? Stay in church. You want to stay close to God? Keep in your prayer closet. And I don't mean passively asking God to deliver you of whatever hardship you find yourself in the moment of. I heard a preacher say one time, the most praying anybody's ever done is when they thought they were getting pulled over. I thought, well, I don't know if that's true or not, but I bet if you look back over your life, you're driving down the road and the police officer turns around, coming the opposite direction, turns his lights on, I bet you and God start talking. Oh, I hope he's not coming after me. Lord, please don't let it be me, please. Even though you're probably guilty, truthfully. When was the last time you did the most earnest of your praying? When was the last time you prayed at all? And again, prayer is not passively spewing out cue words that only missionary Baptists understand. Prayer is about a pouring out of your heart to your Creator. It is about removing distractions, getting to a quiet place, and calling out on Him, not with your words, but with your heart. You want to stay close to God? Talk to Him. Communicate with Him. You say, well, preacher, all these things are good. Yeah, it is good. But you know how else it's avoidable? You know how you faint in the flesh? One of the things that can make you faint in the flesh is if you have an inadequate supply of oxygen, or if you're breathing something else in the air. If oxygen is removed from around you and you're breathing in some other type of gas, it will cause you to faint. Now, if you don't believe me, then if you're feeling adventurous sometime, try to see how much helium you can inhale. And you'll faint at some point. People think it's funny to inhale helium and talk like a 7-year-old girl for a minute, okay? But that is a gas that, when consumed too much, it will cause your body to start shutting down because it doesn't have oxygen. Same thing can happen with smoke. A lot of times people pass away in fires, not because of the fire itself, but because of smoke inhalation. Why? Because they're inhaling something other than oxygen. The air you breathe, spiritually speaking, can cause you to faint. And if you're breathing in air that is tainted and nasty and sinful and unrighteous, it'll cause you to faint spiritually. If you surround yourself with sinfulness and unrighteousness, your spirit will faint. That's not a possibility, it's a reality. Oh, I'm just going to live however I want. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do me. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to listen to whatever music I want, watch whatever TV I want. I'm going to just live my own life. Literally just live for myself. And it won't change the way I'm living with God at all. It's a very foolish way of living and thinking. What are other ways that you might be able to avoid passing out, spiritually speaking? Well, sometimes you can avoid it just by what kind of speech you have in your life and what people are saying to you. Church, let me tell you something. Sometimes your friends, I hope you saw those air quotes, your friends can give you really bad advice. They can give you really bad instruction. Let me tell you something. If you're going to get some good wisdom from somebody, make it a child of God who's walking with God. Don't go seeking advice from every Joe Schmo on the street because it likely won't be biblical. Heard a story one time. This cracks me up. I can't help it. Just a little bit of comedy. You know I can't let a whole sermon go without it. Heard a story of these two little boys. I don't know if they were at camp or vacation Bible school or something. And they're riding around, I think on their bicycles was the way the story was told. And one of the little boys lost control of his bike and he fell off and cut his thumb open. And he got up and it was bleeding profusely. And he's holding it up and he's like, wow, look, I'm bleeding. And his buddy was like, oh my goodness, yes you are. That's really cool. I mean, they're young boys, okay. So he goes around, he shows it off to everybody else. You know, he's scaring people with it and showing people. He's like, look, look, I'm bleeding. Somebody said, you know, you probably should go see the nurse. He went to the nurse, he said, look, look at this. She said, oh my goodness, you're probably going to need stitches. He fainted on the spot. People think, well, that's not very funny. I think it's hilarious. Because the truth of the matter is, he didn't know how bad he had it until somebody told him. And would you believe that however bad your life is, if you talk to the wrong person, they're going to make it feel even worse? If you get unsound advice, people might begin to make you think, yeah, you know what? You do have it rough in your life. You don't deserve to put up with all this mess. You ought to just give up on that and try something new. If you get bad words, and I'm not talking only about cursing, in your ears constantly, it will cause you to faint spiritually. What are you filling your life with? What are you filling your mind with? What do you fill your home with? Because all those things are a direct reflection of your walk with God. So then, we can avoid fainting by not breathing tainted air, by not having ungodly words given to us. And another way we can keep from fainting is not letting our strength get weak. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Do you ever feel weak spiritually? Just, oh, I don't know how much more of this I can take. If you've never been there, it might come at some point in your life where you feel like you just can't keep going. But you know what? Sometimes people experience things in different places, and what affects me may not affect you. Let me tell you something. Let me just give you an example. If you've been in the way for 40 or 50 years, something could happen to you, and you'd be like, that's nothing. I've seen God do that a million times. Ain't no big deal. Somebody got saved last week. It might almost come to the death of them. And the older ones are like, what are you worried about? It's no big deal. It is to me. The level of strength you have is a direct correlation with what you're able to withstand and how long you can go without fainting. You don't want to faint? Be strong in the Lord. Have Him be your strength and not the strength of yourself. Here's the thing. When you trust in yourself and your ability and your strength, guess what you'll find out? It's not adequate. You'll fail and you'll falter and then you'll begin to think, wow, that was a mess. You know what the biggest messes are? The ones you try to do without God. If you don't want to faint, then be strong in the Lord. Build up your strength spiritually by those things we spoke about earlier. Because in doing this, God is able to deliver you in time. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, I'm almost done, and this is found, I believe, in one of the Gospels. I think it is in John. It is. John chapter 16 and verse 21. John 16 and 21. He says this, a woman when she is in travail has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy of a man is born into the world. Now when you first kind of pass over that, you think, okay, I'm not sure exactly how that relates to the message today. Quite literally, the Bible is saying a woman, when she is delivering her child, has much sorrow and pain. Now, I'll say this for those of you brothers of the congregation. You don't know what it feels like to have a child. And don't you dare insinuate that you do. You don't know what that's like. I don't think there's anything that even comes close. I have seen in my own wife of the things that she went through, and people think, oh, well, just delivery is horrible. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of horribleness before you ever get to delivery. There's pain and uncomfortableness. I can remember my wife for like 3 or 4 months couldn't sleep the way she really wanted to because it was uncomfortable. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of pain. There's soreness. There's weakness. There are some times that you can't take the medicine that you would really want to take away your pain because you are with child. And then you get to delivery, and sometimes it is horrible. It is hard. It is long. But when you get to the end and that baby is delivered, I have yet to see a woman that say, well, that wasn't worth it at all. Well, fat lot of good that did me. Every woman, when she holds her child, forgets instantly everything she went through. Why? Because it was worth it. It was hard. It was a struggle, but boy, I'm glad I didn't give up. I'm glad I didn't say I couldn't do it anymore, because when I got to the end of it, it was worth every mile of the trip. It was worth every hardship. It was worth every struggle. It was worth every sleepless night. I believe there is a direct correlation to that in our spiritual walk with God. I don't know if maybe I'm busting people's bubbles this morning by saying that the walk of God is not always fun. It's not always easy, but it is worth it. And you may have times where you struggle. And there may be times where Satan brings fear and anxiety into your heart. But if you will remain faithful, I promise when you get to the reaping, you'll forget all about it. And you will consider in yourself, yeah, it was worth it. I remember, and I want to just pick on Sister Maddie, okay? There's been more than just her in my lifetime of people that kind of turned away from God or sought for a long time. I remember when I was growing up, there was this young lady we went to church with. I still remember her name, Jenna Coffey. And she sought the Lord for several years, and then she became very cold-hearted to the Lord and the work of the Holy Spirit in her life. I think she went like 16 years off and on seeking God. And I thought, wow, that's a long time to wrangle with the Lord. And I can remember her parents getting so frustrated every time she'd get up off the altar unregenerated. I can remember the helpless feelings that they expressed, saying, we don't know what else to do. We don't know. I mean, we literally have nothing left. But I want you to know that morning that she told the church she got things right, her parents were very public in saying, it was worth every time she got off that altar. It was worth every fear we ever had. It was worth all of the struggle we went through because she made it to the reaping. She made it to deliverance. Let me tell you something, church. If you're going to serve God in any capacity at all, there will likely come times when there's discouragement. There may be times of barren fields. Let me tell you something. I swore I was almost done. I really think I am too. I don't garden much. Okay, I'm talking about vegetables. But this year, okay, I thought I'd try my hand at it. Well, let me tell you something about gardening. Sometimes you got to learn the hard way. I put out just a little bit of beans, okay, and I thought, oh, this is going to be good. Come this fall, when we reap of this, it's going to be worth it. And I thought, you know what, this is just, I was so excited about it. But then guess what happened? I put out the seed, I covered it up, I put a little water on it, and I didn't see anything happen. Do you ever get that slight sense in the back of your mind like, did I not follow the directions? Did I do something wrong? Because see, I thought I was told to do X, Y, Z, and then this would be the outcome. But it hadn't happened yet. And I began to think, well, I don't know. Maybe my seeds were just defective. Maybe I should have watered it more. Maybe I should have planted it in a place where it would get a little more sunlight. And every day, I'd go out there and look for them. Most of you are thinking, well, preacher, you need to get a life. Going out watching beans grow, okay? Boy, the work of the Lord is a blessed work. I'd go out there every day, and finally, I mean, it took like 4 weeks, and I saw a sprout. I wasn't even sure. I thought it was some more of those weeds. I went out looking for it, and I thought, oh, maybe that's it. Maybe. But only time will tell. Now, they're up. They're about 7 inches high. But there was a period of 3 or 4 weeks where I really thought that I just wasted my time. I thought it just didn't work. I thought I'd done something wrong. I didn't know if they'd ever grow at all. But in due season, I will reap if I faint not. If you're not careful, you'll sow a little seed with God's help, or maybe you'll water a little bit of seed here, and then if you don't automatically see it grow, you'll think that it was a waste of time. And you know what you'll do? You'll get discouraged and you don't want to do it again. You ever put yourself out there for the Lord and maybe it didn't go like you thought? You thought, I'm never doing that again. You know, you get filled up with the Holy Spirit and God says, move and say something. And you do and it's a flop and you're like, well, not anymore for me. Preachers, you ever been that way? I'm picking on preachers this morning. You ever tried to preach and you thought in your mind it was going to be, I mean, just a humdinger. It's going to be good. It's going to change people's lives, Brother Brian. Whoa, people are going to go out of there shouting and people can't even stay awake through it. And you think, well, that's the last time I'm doing that. Never again. You ever get discouraged sometimes with whatever work of the Lord you're doing? Maybe you're in charge and maybe you're working in the music. It seems like nobody wants to sing and you get a little bit discouraged. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher and it seems like nobody pays attention to what you're teaching. Maybe you're a parent and you're trying so hard to instill obedience in your children, it seems like they defy you at every turn. Whatever it is, if you faint not, God will deliver in His time. I think of this. I was talking to a preacher, I think it was at minister school this year, and he was talking about how they had labored in what they were doing for the Lord. There was a lot of lost people, and he said, they're so cold. This was like last year. He said, they're just so cold-hearted to the gospel. They don't shed a tear. I mean, it's just they're unaffected by the Word of God. You come back next year, he said, 3 of them got saved this year. Last year, you were getting ready to give up. And this year, what are you doing? You're singing songs of Zion about how faithful God can be. Church, guess what we can do too? We can sing songs and we can lift up praise in due season, but only if we faint not. If you ever get frustrated, you ever get tired, you ever feel like you don't want to anymore, that's part of life. And it's part of serving God. See right there, that would make me want to give up if I wasn't already finished. If you're not careful, little things will discourage you. And that's really what it ends up being in the grand scale of things. They're very small comparatively. But if you are able to be faithful, you will likewise look back and say, God brought me through this. Church, can I say one last thing? Brother Devin, I promise this is it. If and when God brings you through, don't ever claim that it was yours. Because it wasn't. Don't go tooting your own horn when God was the one driving the bus. It wasn't you. If you ever come through something, you didn't find your way. You didn't crawl and scrape through. God brought you through. If you will be faithful and when deliverance comes, lift up His name and give Him praise because He is worthy. And when you do that, you know what you do? You give encouragement to somebody else who's going through something that you didn't even know they were going through. You think it's important to testify and witness in God's house? I hope you do. Because sometimes you've gone through something that somebody else is going through right now, and you may not know it. But the church ought to be a place where we can stand up and say, through the darkest of times, through the lowest of valleys, through the longest of nights, when I stayed true to God, He stayed true to me, and He brought me through. Church, don't faint on God, because you will reap in due season. If and only if you faint not. I hope and pray the message has been a help to somebody this morning, Brother Devin. Now, would you be so kind to get us a song and allow a moment of time for these things to sink into our hearts?